The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
How prepared are we for our future to be governed by artificial intelligence? Can we successfully create and regulate a harmonious relationship with the technology, or are we doomed to a dystopia where AI controls us and it is controlled by a small few tech elites? There are far-reaching consequences in health, education, finance, government and civil society that have to be reckoned with in order to get a hold on this rapidly developing technology. To help us understand how, I'm joined by Professor of Computer Science and IT at UCC, Barry O'Sullivan, and Fianna Fáil Senator and Spokesperson on Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, Malcolm Byrne. And Barry, let me start with you, because I think when you describe the potential threats of AI, it seems like a sci-fi movie. It is much more real and much closer to being in place in all of our lives now than we might think. Give us a sense of the implications that we're facing into.
Sure. I guess, first of all, you're absolutely right. We live in a world that's enabled by AI to a large extent, and much of the dystopian stuff that you see in science fiction is that. It's just science fiction. I guess where you come across AI all the time, your spam filter this morning probably was AI-enabled, and it was figuring out which messages to show you, which messages not. You might have searched for something on Google. The Google search engine is based on various AI algorithms. Yesterday evening, if you listened to some music or watched a movie on a streaming service, the system that was suggesting movies to you, that's an AI system, that's a recommender system. It really is something that is almost everywhere right now, and we don't even notice it.
And it seems pretty benign by the way you describe it.
It is pretty benign. Obviously, it's a fantastic IT technology. As with all technologies, it does come with its risks if it's not used properly and not used for good purposes. But by and large, it's a force for good.
Can I take a hypothesis, though? If we go back to what we were discussing with Alistair Campbell and the kind of shift that there has been in the political outlook in both the UK and America, the AI that powers a lot of the social media has been shown to hunt for what people engage with for the longest period of time. And in many instances, what it finds is that people engage with that which makes them mad and that which goes to the things that they hate, and it fuels them with that. That's hardly benign.
Well, as I was saying, I think you have to use AI properly and for good. And when you're developing AI systems and deploying them, you need to make sure that you're doing so in an ethical way. And one of the challenges with AI systems is actually formulating what the objective actually is. So, you know, if the objective is to get people to engage with content, then unfortunately, you know, we know this not only in the social media world, but we know this, you know, at the school gate. It's the sort of fantastic, it's the salacious, it's the gossip that gets people excited and that they want to talk about. So this is not something that is unique to AI. But it is something that can be exploited algorithmically. What's important is that we use AI for good, and that there are, you know, sort of an ethical basis for what we do, and that we build systems in a trustworthy way, and so that they uphold certain ethical principles.
The difficulty, though, is the people who have the AI are not necessarily driven by ethics. I mean, even if you look at things like deepfake videos, where AI has the capacity to create them in a way that a human programmer to take them decades, if not years, the people who have that and who want to create deepfakes and use the images of celebrities, they're incentivized by profit, not by ethics.
Well, absolutely. And I suppose what we've seen over the last 6, 7, 8 years is a huge focus on ethical and trustworthy AI. There have been significant advances in the development of ethical codes for the development and deployment of AI. As we speak at the moment, there's an act going through Brussels at the moment, a proposal from the European Commission to introduce an AI Act, which will actually really puts a lot of obligation on AI developers for lots of purposes. So, for example, there'll be some kinds of technologies that are AI-enabled that would be illegal in Europe. So, for example, subliminal manipulation. So, this some of the things that you described are subliminal manipulation. Things like social scoring, these will be made illegal. And anything that overly contravenes your... Well, anything in fact that contravenes your fundamental rights will be either a banned application of AI, or it'll be one that'll be considered high risk and subject to significant oversight. And so that's a very welcome development, because as you say, you know, for many years, the powerful tech companies have had sort of free rein on how they can use this technology. I don't think they set out to use it in any nefarious way, but I think because the technology is so powerful, you know, one can create situations that you know, do put you on the wrong side of the ethical line. And of course, we do need some guidance, and that is developing.
Malcolm Byrne is with us as well. He's Fianna Fáil Senator and Spokesperson on Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science. And to that point of the developing legislative environment, Malcolm, in the US, they already have pre-existing legislation that says that AI will not be allowed to kill people for, I think, at least another 10 years, because they use AI to target drones, but the AI can't make the choice as to whether or not to execute whatever person has been targeted. In that kind of context, do we need to take it a lot more seriously at European and at national level to define what is and isn't okay for AI to do?
Yes, and Barry is correct. Both governments here and indeed at European level through the AI Act, the underlying principles about how we use AI, they have to be ethically based and human-centered. What we don't want to do, as you mentioned, is to move to a kind of surveillance society that exists in China, where the government is deploying AI to effectively monitor citizens' behavior, to give every citizen a social score. There is concern around weaponization of AI. We know now, with advances in drones, artificial intelligence can make particular decisions in the area of warfare. We will need, in the same way that we looked at how we dealt with nuclear arms, we will need to have global codes in place around the weaponization of AI and where AI may be used for defense or military purposes. There are other areas. I mean, yes, I know when you were chatting with Barry about some of the more benign areas, like the choice of film we might watch on Netflix or what we might listen to on Spotify. But increasingly, companies are using AI to shortlist applicants for jobs. Governments are using AI to determine, whether people are entitled to particular payments and so on. Even there's evidence in the US where in certain areas AI is being used to determine whether somebody should be released on bail or whether they should be given parole. And while, AI can be used...
Go back for a minute there, Malcolm. A computer program is deciding on a human's parole.
Yeah, so you can use, one of the benefits the benefits of algorithms in AI is that it allows, complicated decisions to be taken very, very quickly. And the technology is now there whereby on the basis of the data that is fed into it, a decision can be made, as to how likely somebody is to reoffend and so on, and looking at those issues. So in areas like justice, in healthcare, as I would have mentioned, in terms of in employment, because AI is being deployed and, there are benefits to doing that, we still have to ensure that there are the necessary human safeguards in place. And that includes, by the way, guarding against algorithmic bias. And where Barry talked about, at design stage, most algorithms tend to be designed by white men. And the evidence has shown that that has led sometimes to the algorithms discriminating against either women or people of color. So we've got to, at design stage, have those underlying principles built in. AI has the potential to enormously help us in a wide range of areas. There's a lot of positives, for instance, in terms of how AI is being used to identify, potential drugs to cure particular diseases, how AI can be used for surgery and other areas. But at the same time, we've got to ensure that there are underlying ethical principles and that it is a very human-centered approach. And the challenge for us as legislators at national or European level is about ensuring that those principles are embedded in any laws, but more importantly, in the practices of those companies who are designing the new technologies.
Malcolm Byrne and Barry O'Sullivan, thank you both very much. Malcolm Byrne, of course, is the Fianna Fáil Senator, spokesperson on higher education, research, innovation and science, and Barry O'Sullivan, professor of computer science and IT at UCC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.